All right, we made it through Christmas. Hope Santa was good to you. Got a thing or two you might want. Again, hope you're as excited about it as Tyler. So that's pretty awesome. Just remember when you tune it, Tyler. It's EAD. I got it. Got a lot of helpers. You can tune it because I remember because every average dude gets better eventually. You remember the tune. I had a good Christmas. Hope you did too. Like I say, a lot of sickness. Joni didn't get to go to a lot of it, but I did. I told her about it, but no, a lot of people sick this Christmas. So, now we move into the new year, but I want to finish up a little bit with Advent. We talked about hope and peace and joy, and the last one I do want to go ahead and talk about was love. And we lit the candle for love, the candle for Jesus Christ, and that's what love is. And sometimes we lose sight of what Christmas is. We watch all the holiday shows. You watch the Grinch Who Stole Christmas. Everybody's seen that. And you remember he was going to steal everything. He was going to steal the presents and the food, and he took the trees and the tinsel and the garland, and he took all that stuff, and he thought he was going to steal the joy, steal what it meant, and that's what Satan does. He tries to steal that joy, steal what it meant, and then when he thought he was watching to see what would happen, because he had taken everything he thought from him that would give him that joy. And then he said, he's watching, and then he commented, says, every who down in Whoville, the tall and the small, was singing without any presents at all. He hadn't stopped Christmas from coming. It came. Somehow or other, it came just the same. And the Grinch, with his Grinch feet ice cold in the snow, stood puzzling and puzzling. How could it be so? It came without ribbons, it came without tags, it came without packages, boxes, or bags. And he puzzled 3 hours till his puzzler was sore. Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before. What if Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store? What if Christmas, perhaps, means a little bit more? We know Christmas means a lot more. It's a lot more than presents and trees and lights and things. It's not the presence we get, it's the presence of God that came. All traditions are great, but the love of God is greater than all of those. As I said, we had hope, peace, joy, but love is what came for Jesus Christ. And John 3:16 and 17 is, obviously a well-known verse, but that's what it's about. For God so loved the world that he gave his only one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Hope, peace, joy, they're all provided because of love. Love gave us all those things. There's a lot of songs about love. In my heart there's melody. There's love in our hearts. There's song Heaven Came Down. That's what happened when Jesus came. Heaven came down. There's a song, Love Came Down. Again, Jesus, love came down to us. Love wasn't pushed out like Satan was. Jesus came willingly. And he made himself a little lower for our sake because he loved us. God loved the world so much, he gave us Jesus. His one and only Son. Jesus didn't come to condemn us. We're already condemned. He didn't have to do that. We were already condemned. He came to save us. If a person believes in Jesus, it says, you shall not perish and will have eternal life. So believing changes you. It changes your status. It changes you from perishing and this life being all there is. It changes you. It gives you a glorious future in the presence of God. You get to be with him. and all the good things that he wants to give you. You know, a little bit more of Christmas is the greatest gift the world has ever known. Love came for billions of people, and that includes you and me, because he knows every single one of them. You know, God loves everyone. God loves the sinners. God doesn't love our actions all the time. He certainly doesn't love our sins, but he loves us so much he offered himself for us so we could be children of God. Children of God. You know, when you're a child of God, love just isn't a feeling. You know, love's an experience we have with God. You know, have you experienced God's love? I hope so. I pray so, because God's love is life-changing, because Jesus is life-changing. Do you ever ask yourself, you know, why me? You know, God came down, Jesus came down. Again, if there was nobody else, it would be for you. You know, for you. Why me? You know, why would he do this for me? You know, I'm nothing special. Sometimes we feel like that. Matter of fact, I'm not very good at all. Sometimes we say, I see what he expects. You know, I read the Bible, I hear about it, but I fail all the time. There are plenty of people that can do things much better than I can. So why me? Well, because he loves you. That's why. Jesus, God loves you. You know, a gem dealer, you know, in precious gems, was strolling down the aisles of a Tucson gem and mineral show when he noticed a blue-violet stone that the size and shape of like a potato. It was fairly big, but looked like a potato, but it was blue and violet. And he looked it over, and then as calmly as possible, he asked the vendor, says, so you want $15 for this? And the seller, realizing the rock wasn't as pretty as the others in the bin, lowered the price to $10. So the guy took it, and the stone has since been certified as a 1,905-carat natural star sapphire, which is about 800 carats larger than the largest stone of its kind. It was appraised at $2.28 million. You know, it took somebody who loves stones to realize its worth. Take somebody who loves souls to recognize the true value. Just ordinary things, ordinary people like us. That's why he gave us the gift. We're valuable to him. He knows our value. You know, precious, the word precious comes up sometimes. You know, talk about precious stones. There's a lot of different definitions of precious as well. You know, you think of that stone that was worth all that money. You know, it's rare and worth a lot of money. That can be precious. Another one that I like a whole lot better is greatly loved. Greatly loved and valued. That's why we're precious to God. The other one is very valuable or important, but too valuable and important to be wasted or used carelessly. That's what love is. It's too valuable to be wasted or used carelessly or not provided, not given. You know, we have things we call precious. Again, precious stones, you know, diamonds and rubies and sapphires and things. We call those precious stones because they mean a lot, but mostly because they're rare and worth a lot of money. We have precious metals, you know, gold and silver and things that, again, a lot of times because they're worth a lot of money. Now, they look good. They're blingy. A lot of people like the blingy stuff, and that's okay. But a lot of it's mostly because of how much it's worth. But then we get into other things. You know, we have precious memories. Things that happen, precious moments in our life that are so valued. You know, they're not shiny. They're not worth a lot of money, but they're priceless. They're precious. Times in our life that mean so much to us. Time is precious. You can't get it back. Falls into the too important to be wasted or used carelessly. Because you can't get it back. You can't create more time. We have to use what time we have. Children are precious. How many times have you heard children and grandbabies? They're so precious. Because they're so valuable. They're so loved. That they mean that much. You know, God loves us so much, He gave His most precious possession in Jesus. So we could be saved. Have you ever given up anything you would call precious? Maybe something of extreme value or importance that you've given someone. Maybe something you loved. Have you ever given it to someone else? If you have, why? Why did you do it? Why would you give up something that's precious to you? Something precious isn't just anything. It's something that means so much to you that it's a sacrifice to give it up. So why would you do that? I mean, Jesus is the example because you love someone more than yourself. You love someone so much you give up something you love for them. Now, grandkids, I have a 4-year-old. If you're wondering what this is my youngest son's family of 4 or 5, the 3 kids. This is known as a bee. They all have a bee, and it must go to bed with them. It's a requirement, trust me. They stay all night at your house. You want to be sure you have the bee. And they each have their own bee. My 4-year-old brought me one. Said this was my bee. Wanted me to have it. He's got more than one, don't get me wrong. But bees are precious to him. This makes it precious to me. That he gave out of love. He gave something he loved up to someone else he loved. You know, I hear parents say, love you to the moon and back. Love you as big as the sky. You know, that's in the Bible. I don't know if they thought it was, but Psalm 36:5 says, your love, Lord, reaches to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. I think he's saying the same thing. Jesus says it too. Because his love's bigger than you can imagine. It's endless. Jesus gave us 2 rules for loving. And you know those. It's Matthew 22:36-39. It says, teacher, which is the greatest commandment of the law? And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. You know, these are the greatest commandments. Why? Because they cover everything. You know, if you love, the others are taken care of themselves. You won't steal, you won't cheat, you won't kill, you won't do all these other things because you love somebody. You know, loving God and others is possible because God said so. And He commanded it. You know, if He wouldn't have said it if it couldn't be done. It can be done. And God expects it. 1 John 4:7-21 talks a lot about, well, excuse me, I'm going to get a Kleenex here.
No?
Okay. 1 John 4, 7-21 says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. And if anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister." You know, again, God is love. They sent Jesus as the proof of love for us. You know, if God is in us, so is that love. You know, his living in us makes love complete in us. You know, that relationship, again, we talk about so often, makes us complete. Our love of God, our love for others, that completes it. You have to have both those relationships. We have the Holy Spirit. You know, a fruit of the Spirit is love. It's one of the things we get. God's love in us. It's a love you can't turn off and on. It's always there. You know, if we profess it and don't possess it, then we need to take a look at ourselves. Is God truly in us? Is God's love in us? Is God in us? Does love shine through everything else in our life? You know, love is a sign of Jesus in our life. And our dedication to him and our love for him, it shows us that he's there, and I believe it shows everyone else he's there as well. They can see it. You can tell God's inside. We're to love others as Jesus loves us. Is that the challenge? Love others as Jesus loves you. Are you even close? Are you even trying? If not, why not? If you are, praise God. You're a shining light, God's light to the world, a world that certainly needs love. I'm going to have an invitation in just a few minutes. I want to finish with Deuteronomy 30, verse 6. Says, "The Lord your God will circumcise your hearts and the hearts of your descendants so that you may love him with all your heart and with all your soul and live." You ever think of God circumcises hearts? You know, hearts have to be changed. You know, cold, hard parts, the cold, hard parts need to be cut away to let the parts that are alive to grow and multiply. You know, sometimes hearts are in such bad shape they need to be broken. Then God can mend them back together stronger than before. And there are times we have broken hearts. You know, we get disappointed by people we love. And disappointment's always much worse than being angered. It hurts much deeper to be disappointed. Sometimes those we love just seem to do things that don't seem right to us. Sometimes they let us down by actions they take or words they say. People we love break our hearts. But we break the hearts of people we love too. We're not perfect. Sometimes God breaks hearts too to draw us to Him. We need to be broken so that He can fix us. You know how to fix it. You love them anyway. You love them anyway. Love them just as Jesus loves you. Now, we've all gone through life issues where it's difficult to love. But it's not impossible. It's not impossible. You know, people you love get hurt. You know, divorce happens. Divorce hurts. Whether it's you or kids or family, it's painful. What do? You love them. I mean both of them. Both of them. Now you have to make a choice to love them. Because I've had to make that choice. But it's much better than the alternative. Because bitterness and ill feelings just, they'll rip you apart. Satan uses those to chip away at the love you have. He tries to add back those cold, hard parts of your heart. And then at that point, you're the one losing the most. Joan Mills enjoyed a bedtime ritual with their little boy. They each compared how much they loved each other. She said, "I wouldn't trade you for all the boys in the world." Then he creatively compared his love for her by saying, "Well, I wouldn't trade you for 40 motorcycles." Or he would say, "I wouldn't trade you for Aunt Judy's pool if it were filled with money and I was swimming in it." But Joan said one comparison stood out above all the others. One time little Andy said, "I love you with all the pieces of my heart." You know, does your heart ever feel like it's in pieces? Maybe it's been broken by disappointment or torn by decisions or priorities or things you have to do. Andy is right. Our hearts are made of different pieces. The question is, how many of those pieces will be devoted to loving God and others? If you take the verse, it says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all the pieces of your heart." With all your heart. That's from a guidepost from years ago. But God is love. You know, if you read 1 Corinthians and the love chapter, you know, there's a lot of things you can do. You can do this, this, and this. But as he says, you know, it doesn't matter if love isn't in it. If love is missing, you're missing out. Love's that important. You know, faith and hope, those will go away. When he returns, those will go away, but love never will. It will exist for eternity. God sent love to us in Jesus, that baby. God gave love to us by giving us the salvation we didn't deserve. God commands us to be life, to be like Jesus, and to show love for everyone. Where are you? You know, are there hearts that need mending? Are there relationships that need remade and remade stronger? It just takes love. But love depends on you giving it. You have to give it. You know, I don't know if you have New Year's resolutions that you do, you know, if it's lose this much, exercise this much, you know, let that walking machine become a coat hanger or a shirt hanger, ironing hanger eventually. But, you know, if you need a New Year's resolution, make it to love more than ever before.
make it to love like Jesus. Let's pray.